The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Miriam Spear, dedicated by Steve, Hannah, Eve, and Jesse. It seems that it is her birthday, and we wish her many years of health and happiness. 120 years, may she derive much pleasure from her family, her children, and all her friends, and may she continue to have the strength to do all her work at home and in the community. Amen. Daf Lamed Aleph. Today's daf is being sponsored Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Moshe Ben Miriam Mo Hidri Alav Shalom, whose Yahrzeit is this week. Mr. Mo Hidri, a upstanding member of our community, involved in many acts of chesed and charity, specifically the Havra Kaddisha and other acts of benevolence. Yehi zikro baruch v'tehi nishmato tzlura b'tzor ha'ayim. Amen. We begin today's daf on daf lamed, and we begin two lines from the bottom. Amar le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef. So Abaye tells Rabbi Yosef, Tevila zu. This tevilah that we're talking about, meaning the tevilah that's necessary by every kohen before he goes into the azara on a daily basis, like we looked in the Mishnah, regarding this tevilah, which again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is only midrabbanan, it's only rabbinical, like we learned today. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the only reason why you have to go to the mikveh before you go into the Beit HaMikdash is a gezerah, because we're worried of tum'ah yeshana, that he might have a tum'ah on him already and forgotten. So by telling him he has to go to the mikveh, he becomes cognizant that, oh, maybe there's a tum'ah on him and he needs the Erev Shemesh, and therefore he'll desist from going into the Beit HaMikdash. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it says the whole tevilah anyway is with Rabbanan, chotzetz or eno chotzetz. Are we concerned about the regular laws of Hatzitza or not? Now, normally in a regular Tevilah, there are certain things that are considered interference. Yeah. They interpose between him and the water, and therefore it's considered a Hatzitza, it's invalid. So are we lenient, meaning since this is only Midrabanan anyway, and the guy really is Tahor, so are we concerned about all the laws of Hatzitza or not? Look at the top Rashi. Chotzetz or eno chotzetz, Rabbi Yehuda de'amar b'pnei strach tevila be'almai. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that says the whole thing is anyway a gezerah, pasla b'chatzitza k'shar tevilot. Do we say that chatzitzot are posel like another tevilot? Or dilma, or maybe kevan de'ena ba ela lazkiro ala tuma yishana velo letaher ba'iba lo pasla b'chatzitza. Or do we say, no, maybe the chatzitza is not posel, because really it's just coming to remind them that he might have another tuma, therefore we're not strict like a regular tevilah. So the Gemara says, Amar le, kod tikkun rabbanan, kein deoraita tikkun. So listen, whenever the rabbis make a decree, they fashion their decrees like the Torah law. And therefore, since Torah law hatitza is a problem, so therefore the same thing in this rabbinic law, hatitza is a problem. Now let's do the top Tosafot. Tosafot, chotzetz or eno chotzetz. Pirush Rashi, the Rabbi Yehuda kame bayale. Right, that she's learning the question dafka according to the Biyuda that holds the whole tevilah of the Rabbanan. The kashli dimken avile lemimar beheja le Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara should have said that explicitly. That when Abaye asked the question to Rabbi Yosef, he should have said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Hatitza a problem or not? So Tosfos is asking, how come the Gemara didn't speak out? Clearly, this question is dafka le Rabbi Yehuda. Ela nere de ben le ben zoma ben le Rabbi Yehuda. He wants to say the question is being asked even according to Ben Zoma that holds the Tevilah is Deoraita. Ubetvilah shu tovir kesheeno ba la'avod ela likanes bi'ar likanit. And we're talking about over here a Tevilah where he's not going to serve an avodah, but he just wants to walk into the azara. Debeham o de Ben Zoma de lo havia ela drabanan. In this case, even Ben Zoma will agree to walk into the azara stam, not to do avodah. It's also midrabanan. Sheme ya'avod. Shema Yavod, Gezerah, that you might come to do service, because the Parishnu Le'ayin, that's the fourth opinion above. Ba'adekame v'ayin le'acha chotzetz o enu chotzetz tefeh mevichol tevilot rabbanan, kigon yud chet davar v'chei yotze ba'en. How come this is the only place where the Gemara asks, is chatitza a problem or not? There's many cases where we learned, specifically in Masechet Shabbat, we learned 18 different tevilot, which are only midrabbanan, and there the Gemara doesn't ask, is chatitza a problem or not? Why over here, specifically in this type of tevilah, does the Gemara ask, is tevilah a problem? Yesh tomar mishum da'ad tevilah ma'ala yeterahi. Because over here it's really a chumrah. Share tahor gamuru. Because the guy is tahor. Ve'en kan sad hashash tuma. There's no sad of tuma over here. Ela ma'ala be'alma ve'chumrah yeterahi ulachi me'vayle dilma enu chotzetz. Which is in all the other cases, there's a sad to say, maybe there's tuma. Therefore the Gemara says, once there's a sad tuma, there's no question hatzitza is a problem. But here the whole thing is a stringency. Because we're talking about, even if you know the guy's 100% tahor, he still has to go do this tevilah. So they were saying, well, since the guy's 100% tahor, Tosfot says, that's what we asked over here. Maybe hatzitza is also not an issue. So Tosfot has 2 points of it. Let's just review them. Number one, he's learning the question is also according to Ben Zoma, in a case where he's not going in to serve Pravoda. And secondly, the reason why the Gemara chose to ask the question of Chatzitza over here more than other cases is because the really the case over here, the guy is going in Tahor. Comes Gemara's next point. Amar le Abaye le Rav Yosef. Bi'a b'miksat. Shema bi'a o lo. Which means lenyan des tevilah. Let's say a person is not going fully into the Beit HaMikdash area. It's bi'ab miksat. He's partially entering the Beit HaMikdash area. For example, let's say he's standing at the footstep of Shah Nikanor and he's just sticking his hand in. Do you still need this tevilah? Or maybe this tevilah is only on a bi'agimura, on a complete entry. Well, amale behonot yuchihu. Well, the thumbs of the mitzorah will prove shehen bi'ab miksat, because when the on the eighth day when the mitzorah gets sprinkled by the blood, he stands with Shad Nikanor and he sticks his thumb into to the Kodesh, and would we say he has to go to the mikveh on the eighth day? Why? In order to allow him to go to the Tevilah. So the Gemara says, V'etanya mitzvah, I'm sorry, allow him to go into the Beit HaMikdash, even though he's partially going in. V'etanya mitzvah tobel ve'omed b'sha'a Nikanor. Now, it should be pointed out over here that according to Rashi, if we're asking this according to the Bi'udah, right? Let's go to Rashi Lishitato. If the question is according to the Bi'udah, now we learned, well, because the Bi'udah holds that this whole thing is the banan. So we're saying, well, what about Bi'ab and Miksat? Is Bi'ab and Miksat, could we be lenient or not? Because no, you have to be Shmahmir. What's your proof for Mitzorah? What do you mean? The Bi'udah himself, by Mitzorah, said he doesn't have to go to the Mikveh in the day. We learned on yesterday's daf, he said that if he went the night before, he doesn't have to go the following morning. So what's your proof? So the Tosafot speaks out, and we'll read it inside, look at the second Tosafot, V'tanya mitzorah tovel v'omed v'sha nikanor, v'perush Rashi, shepiresh l'Rabbi Yehuda mevayale. According to Rashi, that's learning these questions, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, Maika pashit mehacha, what are you learning from here? Ha'mahi lav Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda palik ale le'el. You can't prove anything from Yehuda, because Yehuda argued and said that the mitzvah does not have to go to mikveh on the eighth day. Yesh tomar afal pichin pashit shapir. We can still solve the problem. How? The midrabanan da'ami da'avid ma'ala afidu b'shvil bi'at miksat. Means from the fact that you see the rabbis hold that a mitzvah has to go into the mikveh because he's doing bi'at miksat. Ha'chen amel Rabbi Yehuda mitvilat kol adam da'avid rabanan tzadik l'tbol afidu bi'at miksat. Which is, I can just apply concept. Which is, since the rabbis hold that bi'ab miksat needs a tevilah, I know the Bi'udah argues in that case because he went to the Bi'udah the night before, but from here I could learn in all other cases of a person going to the Beit HaMikdash, bi'ab miksat is an issue, and therefore you need a tevilah. Now let's read Rashi. I just want to make one point in the Rashi here. Ma'ushi ase, shema tevilah, I'm sorry, shema bi'ah, it's the fourth line. Like we learned, if it's talking about a case where he just wants to bring in one of his limbs into the azara. Now we get to the next question. Can he make a long knife? He doesn't want to go into the Beit HaMikdash at all. He didn't go to the mikveh, he'll stay outside because it's a long knife and he'll extend it into the Beit HaMikdash area because the shechita has to be done in the Beit HaMikdash area and he'll just make the shechita. Is that okay or not? Well, we'll ask this question according to both extreme opinions. We'll ask it according to Ben Zoma that says the tibila is the oraita before you go in, and we'll ask it according to the rabbi's opinion of the braitot that we learned earlier that said that you don't have to go to the mikveh at all. all. Mm-hmm. Remember, we had a third shita that they held. You don't have to go to the mikveh at all. So the Gemara says, "Tevayel ben zoma al tzeis." According to Ben Zoma, ad kal no machayev Ben Zoma ela legavai. Ben Zoma only said you have to go to the mikveh when you're going in legavai, going in. Aval lebrai lo. But since you're still outside, although the knife is inside, but you're fully outside, maybe you don't need mikveh. Or dilma atele imshucheh. Or maybe there's a gaz that I might get drawn in. Which means since the knife is inside, you might get drawn in after the knife, and therefore you need a tevilah. Tevi'el Rabbanan depaligi aliyad Rabbi Yehuda. And we can even ask according to the opinion of the rabbis that said you don't need a tevilah at all. Ad kano kari Rabbanan hatam delo ka'avid avodah. The Gemara says, maybe the rabbi said the only time you don't need a tibilah is when you're not doing a service, when you're not going in to do any sort of avodah. But here, where you're going to do a service, where you're doing the shechita, so maybe they'll require a tibilah. Or dilma lo shena. Or maybe it doesn't make a difference. Maybe the rabbi told whether you're going to do an avodah or whether you're not doing an avodah, you don't got to go to mikveh. The Gemara leaves us in a tiku. Gemara says that Yahweh Nevi has to answer this question. Now let's do the Rashi for a second. Maushi ase sakin aruka liftor atzmo min tevilah. He wants to exempt himself from tevilah. He doesn't want to go to the mikveh, but he wants to slaughter. The yamot chutz ta'azara the yoshit yado lifnim. That the Mefashim point out that she means over here yoshit yado. It means sakino. The knife, exactly. Because once you put your hand in, then that's maybe Abba Mitzat. We answered that in the last question. Very good. So therefore, when she says over Yoshit Yado, he means the knife. The Yishchot. Mim miftar ba'akim in a tevilah. Does it exempt him from the tevilah? Or dilma ba'ay tevilah. Ul'enyan akshera de korban lo kame ba'yale. I mean, regarding the status of the korban, for sure the korban would be kasher. Because so long as the korban is slaughtered inside the azara, you're okay. The afagav de amad mibahutz v'shachat. Even though the slaughterer is standing outside, kashera. The tanya v'zbachim ben abakar lifnei Hashem. It says the animal has to be in front of Hashem ve'lo shochet lifnei Hashem, but not the shochet. Tevi'el ben zoma te'machmir ba tevi'el rabbanan te'plik adet b'yuda ve'amru kol adam lo ba'u tevila legavai ha'nichnas la. Good. Now look at the third Tosafot on the daf. Od dilma atel emshuchet. Right, one of the sides is to say maybe we'll make a gezerah that you might get drawn after the knife. So Tosfot says, "Had amar rosh perek akol shachatin, verosh perek kol apesulim, the temeim b'mukdashim, that anybody that's tameh lechatayla lo yishchatu besakin arucha, lechatayla should not slaughter with a long knife, shem yigru bebasar." Because we're worried that they might touch the basar. Ve'lo ka'amar ta'ama dilma atel amshukheh. And the Gemara over there doesn't give the reason that he might get drawn after going inside. So why over there the Gezerah is what? He might come to touch the basar. The guy's tameh. So he wants to know, can he use a long knife? The Gemara says, oh, he might come to touch the basar. What do you see? How come you don't give the reason that we gave over here? Atel amshukheh. Da'afagav da'aka mesafke le'igazin and dilma atel amshukheh olo hani mili betahor. Right, the only Gemara's safek over here is a tahor. Because the guy's tahor over here. Correct? We have a safek. Do we suspect he's going to get drawn into the azara or not? But in the case over there where the guy was tameh, certainly we should suspect that he might get drawn in. The Gemara's with Tosfot's asking like this. If in another Gemara where we talk about a tameh, that's slaughtered with a sakin aruka, there the Gemara doesn't suspect that he might get drawn in. And Tosfot says the Chaura, over there certainly you suspect that he might get drawn in, because there it's serious consequences. Because since he's tameh, it's yisur karet. Whereas over here, he's tahor. So Tosfot says, v'yishtuman adrabah, he anotain it. That's exactly the reason why we're not suspecting. Tatam keman de tameh hu zahir tafeh. Since the guy knows he's tameh, he's very careful not to get drawn in. Ve'lo ayil. Aval tahor ikal lemachash tafeh del ma'atel emshukheh. But over here, since he's tahor, therefore, he's not really concerned if he gets drawn in. Therefore, here we have more concern as opposed to a case if a guy was tameh. Just point out one more point over here. Again, the Gevorot Ari does speak out that this question that the Gemara will ask with the Sakin Aruka is a question not only according to Ben Zoma and Rabbanan, but certainly it's a question according to the opinion of the Biyuda. Because if the Gemara is asking on the banan that hold the tevilah over here is not necessary at all, and still have a shefek, maybe you're going to make a gezerah by the sakin arukah that the guy's going to get drawn in, or he might go do avodah, and therefore need a tevilah. Certainly, according to the Biyudah that mandates a tevilah with the banan, you'd have a question, do you need a tevilah or the sakin arukah? Okay. Now, the Gemara did say in this line of reasoning over here that we just read, de lo ka'avid avodah. Right? The Gemara said over here, what was the Lashon? The Gemara said, Adkan lo kavi rabbanan hatam de lo kavi avodah. Right, the rabbis only said that you don't have to go to the mikveh when you're not doing avodah. Aval haka de kavi avodah. Now you can ask a question. Is shechita an avodah? What do you mean you're doing an avodah? So the mefashim over there, reading the Ditba, Ditba says, Pirush de lo avid avodah biyadayim. Which means, for example, the case of the Metzorah. The Metzorah that's getting sprinkled, that's not considered avodah biyadayim, because he's just passive. So in that case over there, the rabbis will tell you that you don't have to do the tevila. De'ad dumiyad metzora kamar she'enu oseh avodah biyadayim ela shakwen mazeh alav. Ma she'en kem bezu, but over here, de'avid avodah edayinu she'ita. Ve'afagat she'ita kishena bezar avodah. Which means, it's when we say avodah, we just mean an active service as opposed to just standing and being passive. So it's not avodah in the normal understanding of avodah, because we know a zar can do the shaita. It means an active action in the Bet HaMikdash area. Comes the Gemara, continues. Hamesh tevidot asana kedushin tovel. We learned on Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to go to the mikveh 5 times. And he washes his hands and feet, we call that Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, 10 times. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamesh Tevidot Va'asara Kiddushim Tobel Kohen Gadol, U'mekadesh Bo Bayom. Right, on that day it's 5 Tevilot and 10 Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. V'chulam Bakodesh Bebet HaParva. And all the Tevilot are done in the chamber called Bet HaParva. As we learned, on top of the Bet HaParva there was a mikveh, and he would go to the mikveh, which is in the area of Kodesh Chutz, Mirishona. Except for the first Tevilah, that's when he would come into the Bet HaMikdash, take off his Bigdeh Chol, the regular clothes that he was wearing, and put on the Bigdeh Kodesh. Shaita Behol Al Gabeh Sha'ar HaMayim. That was done by the special chamber called Sha'ar HaMayim, that we said Upsad Lishkato Haita. That was right next to his Lishka. Jeez, we learned that the Kohen would stay in Paredrin, and the Paredrin was next door to Lishkat HaMayim, so it would be very convenient for him to go from the Paredrin to the Lishkat HaMayim for his first Tevilah of the day. Now, the reason why we said it was called Sha'ar HaMayim, if you remember, is because it was that the gate that they used to walk through to bring the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkot. Hence the name Sha'ar Nisuch, or Sha'ar HaMayim. Now, the Tosfot points out here, V'chulan Bakodesh Begag Bet HaParva. Tosfot says, Temali V'Hagagin V'Aliot Lo Netkadeshu. If you remember, we learned the Masechet Pesachim, the roofs did not have the status of Kedusha. So the Chawraf, the mikveh was on Bet HaParva, you tell me that the Tevilot had to be done by Kodesh, the roof of Bet HaMikdash, of Bet HaParva, is not Kodesh. So Tosfos says it is. V'yesh tomar gag Bet HaParva, heya shaveh lekarka azara. If you remember, we learned in Masechet Pesachim as well, that based on the configuration of Bet HaMikdash, the azara and the wall of the Bet HaParva, the roof I should say, were equal. And therefore has the status of azara. Therefore indeed, well maybe the other roofs were not Kodesh, but Bet HaParva roof was Kodesh because it was on equal playing of the Azara itself. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye Shma Minna, we learn from over here, E'en Itam, the spring of Itam, Gavoa Mekarka Azara, was higher than the floor of the Azara, Esrim V'Shalosh Amot, 23 Amot. Now, what is this referring to? So let's read Rashi. En etam. Memenu ba'a amat amayim lebet tevilat sha'ar amayim sha'al ha'choma. Which means, if sha'ar amayim was on the roof, these mikveot were up high. So you had to have, obviously, a source, a spring, higher than the mikveh, so the water can fall into it. I mean, you can't get the water from the lower place up. Right? The water's got to flow naturally into the mikveh. So they used to get the water from a spring called En Etam. So that she's... she says for the Sha'ar HaMayim. That would be for the Lishkat... Lishkat HaMayim. That's the one next to his office. Now that she says, Ulfi Anyana Mikraot, which is according to what I know from the Pesukim, Nir'ali Shu Ma'ayan Me Naftuah. Another name of this Mayan is called Menaftuah Ha'amud B'Sifri Yoshua. Good. Shemisham Gibul Meshapeyach V'Yored LeMizrach On Ma'arad Ma'arad V'Hu HaGibul B'Chol Eretz Yisrael. So that was the border of Eretz Yisrael to the east and to the west. I mean, it was split between the tribes. Some got to the east of En Otam and some got to the west of it. Ve'ach Miltad Abaye. Now, what is Abaye discussing over here? Mishum Damina B'Zevachim. Because in Masechet Mitzrayim there's a whole subject. Savur LeMibneye LeBet HaMikdash Be'En Etam. When Shemuel HaMelech, Shemuel and Navi, with David, were discussing building the Beit HaMikdash. So the original idea was to build it in the highest place, because it says in the Beit in the Pesukim, the Avra'ayot, that it's supposed to be built up high on a mountain. Now the highest place in Yerushalayim is Ein Etam. Mm-hmm. So originally the plan was to build it on that by that spring. Amre Nechte bepurta. So you know what? Let's build it a little under En Etam. Why? Dichtiv uben ketefav shechin. Because it says the Shekhinah rests between the shoulders, which means so therefore it's not at the head, it's at the shoulder. So it's a little off the highest point. Sheken shemrina mineshu gavoa minakol. So we know En Etam is the highest place. Vino pirish minale. Now we never saw a proof that En Etam was the highest place. But from this Gemara now, we're going to prove that indeed En Etam had to be even higher than the area of the Beit HaMikdash. How? So he says, Amar Abaye Shma'mina, we can learn from this Gemara, En Etam kevo mekarka azra asim v'shalosh amod etnan. Kol ha-petachayim shayu sham, all the entrances in the Beit HaMikdash, kevohin asim amma, which we learned that, they were 20 amma high. V'ruhban esen amot, and they had the width of 10 amot, chutz mishel ulam, except for the ulam. Okay, that she says, which was actually 40 amma high and 20 amma wide. Vetanya, and we have a braita. Verachas besaro b'mayim. Now, regarding the shi'ur of the mikveh, it says in the pasuk, verachas besaro b'mayim. A person who goes to the mikveh, he has to dip his basar, immerse his flesh in water. So the Gemara says, from the word mayim, you know what we learn? Beme mikveh. We know it has to be mikveh water, as opposed to mayim she'uvim, as opposed to water that was drawn. It has to be natural mem mikveh. Kol besaro, you know what we learn from the words kol besaro? Mayim shekol gufo ole bahem. It's got to be water that his whole body can be immersed in them. Vekamahin, and what is that shi'ud? Amma al amma, one amma width by one amma length, berum gimel amot, with the depth of 3 amot. Vishiaru hachamim memigveh arba'im se'ah. And we know that in that area of 1 by 1 by 3, you could fit 40 se'ah. Now the Gemara assumes that the shiurim over here are split up, like I told you, 1 width, 1 length, and 3 depth. Tosfot says, well, how do you know? L'chaura, maybe you could separate, you know, put this area a little different. Look at the bottom Tosfot, or actually look at the Tosfot. The bottom Tosfot actually on the page. Or actually no, in Etam. En Etam gevo mekark azrachav gimel amot. Tem alan. Umin alan de bet ha-tevila ita gevo ha-shalosh amot. Which is, the Gemara is going to try to say that, well, the Beit HaTevilah was on the roof, right? Now, the Beit HaTevilah is on the roof. Now, we know the Beit HaTevilah itself, the mikveh itself, has a depth of 3 amot. Okay? So above the Azaran, you got to go to the roof of the roof of the Lishkah. You have 3 amot now, depth. And then you have to have the mikveh or the En Etam on top of that, because the water's got to fall into the mikveh. So it's got to be at least 3 amot on top of the mikveh. Now, based on the shiurim that we're giving you over here, from the azarat to the gate was 20 amma. So therefore, from the azarat to the top of the lishakot was also 20 amma. Now you have an extra 3 amot, right, from the mikveh, because you have a depth of mikveh 3 amot, that's 23 amma, and the En Etam has to be at least 23 amma higher than the floor of the azarat, so it can fall into the roof of the mikveh. So therefore the Gemara proves this point. So the Tosafot is saying, who told you that was 3 depth? Maybe it was 2 amma depth, and put the other amma in the length. put the ama in the width. So Tosfot says in etam gavo mikar kazlakav gimel amot temalan uminalan debeta tevila ita gevuha shalosh amot dilma lo ita gevuha ela ama veorkas shalosh amot. Yeah, maybe the length was 3 amot. Va'kohen hayam mashkiv atzmo betocho, and maybe the kohen had to just lie down to cover his body, because if you give a long length and a less of a depth, that means the kohen would have to lie down in order to cover himself in the water. Iname lo ayta givua ela shte amot, or maybe I'll tell you it was, let's say, 2 amot. Va'kohen gadol yoshev v'tomel, and he can sit and dip. V'yesh tomad mistama kol ma sheyukhulin na'kel alav mishum choshad the kohen gadol ayu osim v'derech amida yatove kizeh na'kel lo yote la'asot. We assume they constructed the mikveh in the easiest way possible that the kohen gadol can dip, especially on Kippur where he's fasting, he's weak. The easiest way to dip is what? Standing. And if we would rather make it more depth instead of making it more long, we'd have to lie down. Now look at the Rashi. Gavoa mekar ka'azana asim v'shosh amot kemidat gova shahar amayim, which means it had to be the same shi'ur above shahar amayim ubinyan kli shel shalosh amot mil ma'la, that you needed above shahar amayim 3 amot keli להחזיק 40 סאה שאפשר למים לעלות להר שהוא גבוה במקום שנובעים בזם. So you have the lishka, right? The lishka is 20 amah, because we know all the gates were 20 amah high. So the top, the roof was 20. Then you're putting a mikveh on top of the roof. That means you need another 3 amah depth. Now if you have another 3 amah, what's the matter?
Why can't it go in the roof? In the ground?
No, it didn't go, so it says the mikveh was on the roof. They walked up steps and go to the mikveh. They could have done whatever they wanted, but it's saying the bottom line, it was on the roof itself. So if it's on the roof, that means you have another 3 amah on top, because we know the depth of the mikveh is 3 amah. That means the spring that the water filled the mikveh had to be above that. Ve'aika amah tikra says, what do you mean? You have another amah of the roof, which means this was not an outdoor mikveh. They covered the mikveh. So you have at least an amah of ceiling, exactly. Ve'amah ma'aziva. Ma'aziva would be the plastering of the base of the mikveh, which means so it doesn't leak. If the base of the mikveh is dirt and you're going to fill it up with water, it's going to leak through the Beit HaMikdash. So they would have to plaster the bottom. To that would add another amah. So you're up to 25. So the Gemara says no. She'arim de Beit HaMikdash, the gates of the Beit HaMikdash, kevan de shishaninu, since they were made out of marble, b'mashu avdelu. You would have to just put a mashu, meaning you did not need a thick roof on top of it. You would just place a thin roof, and the support of the shayish, the marble, would hold it, and therefore it really was not significant. Furthermore, they would also marbleize the floor of the mikveh, and since they marbleize the floor of the mikveh, you're not worried about any leakage, right? Because the mikveh has a marble floor. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Ve'aika he'ach mashu. Right, but it's not 23. It's 23 and change and a mashu. The Gemara says, "Kevan de lo avi amta lo hashivlu." Since it's not an ama, so they didn't count it. So it's 23. Whatever it is. So that already we're not going to be so technical with that shiur. Let's read the top of that she's here. Va'ika ama ovi tikra al halal ashar. Al-Ashar, the thickness of the roof or the ceiling on top of the gate. Ve'amah ma'aziba, shiltit ve'chol megubal yaha, like the cement, liyot mayim notnim nohim sham, levad omek ahalal shalosh amot, she'hashat, that you calculated, which means, besides the 3 amot, you'll have to elevate a little more to make a little plastering so the water is insulated. Okay, good. Comes the Gemara and continues.
It wasn't a ceiling over the
gate.
No. Ceiling of the gate.
Ceiling of the gate. Yes, you have to count the ceiling of the gate. Yeah. So the Gemara is saying the ceiling of the gate was really a mashu, so if it's not, not significant. Comes the Gemara and continues. Sadin shel boots. Okay, so we said that in the morning, the first tevilah of the Kohen Gadol was done in Chol. It was done in Sha'ar HaMayim. And what would they do? They would take a linen garment and they would use it like a mechitza and separate it between the Kohen and the people, so he would undress and go to the mikveh. So the Gemara asks, Parsu sadin shel boots, mai shena shel boots. Why? Why did they have to use a linen garment? Kedamar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana says, Kedesh Shiyakir Sha'avodat Hayom Bebegde Boots. Later on, Rav Kahana is going to say that the reason was that in order to remind the Kohen that today's service is done with the Begdei boots, because normally the Kohen Gadol wears the Begdei Zahav. So they're reminding him, hey, today you're also going to wear Begdei Lavan, which is the linen garments. So therefore they would put a linen partition to remind him. Hachanameh here also, שיאכיש עבודת היום בבגדי בוץ. Look at Rashi, שעבודת היום בבגדי בוץ, שיש היום עליו עבודה שהיא בבגדי בוץ, לפי שאינו רגיל לשרת בלא שמונה בגדים. The Kohen Gadol is not accustomed to serve without the eight garments. ויש מהם של זהב כגון seats, וחושן, ואפוד, ופעמוני המעיל. Which means he's just talking about the בגדי זהב. The בגדי זהב included the seats, the headband in the Grand War, the hoshin, which had gold straps, the ephod was the apron, upamone mi'il, and the bells on the bottom of the ketonet, of the mi'il, I mean, they were also gold. Now look at the Tosafot over here. Kede amar av kana, kede shiyakir, kohen gadol sh'avodat hayom shel boots. The big Tosafot here, right? Tosafot is going to say like this. Lekaman gave eviyu lo begde laban. Later on, Rav Kahana is going to teach us that we do things to remind the Kohen Gadol that his clothes on that day are boots. So the Tosfos says, Tema, Mai shena damra limilta asefa velo aresha. Why did Rav Kahana wait to tell me this rule that you have to remind the Kohen of Bigdei boots? He could have told me over here. Which means in the resha of our Mishnah, when we say the partition, that's what Rav Kahana should have said. Oh, the reason why the partition is boots is to remind the Kohen. Why did he wait later on at the next part of the Mishnah, which they're calling it the Sefa, to mention that point? So comes the Tosfos of Nereli Daresha Lo Chashash Lomro. He didn't feel that he had to tell it us over here. The Pshita the Sarich Hekera Shelo Yitevi Ilbash Kol Chet Begadim Kederek Shu Osei Kol Yemot Hashana Kishu Poshet Begdechol Shu Lovesh Kol Chet Begadim. ולכן פרסו בגדי בוץ כדי שיכיר שהיום אינו ללבוש בגדי בוץ עם בגדי זהב. Which means, it's obvious, according to Rav Kahana, the question of Tosafot is, how come Rav Kahana did not mention in this Mishnah that the reason why they do bigdei boots is to remind the Kohen? He mentions it in the next Mishnah. Hey, you have a chance to mention it here, mention it here. So Tosafot said it was obvious here. It's peshita, why? Because now the Kohen Gadol, on a normal day, what would he do? He would take off his bigdei hol, and right away he put on bigdei zahav. He's accustomed to that every single day. So therefore it's obvious that the reason why you're doing bigdei, a bigot of pishtan over here, bigdei boots, a partition, to remind him, hey Kohen, it's not like every day over here. Today, don't put on your bigdei zahav, which means make sure you remember that today it's bigdei lavan. It's obvious that that's the reason why you have the bigdei, that they have the boots. Ela, bifnei atzmam, aval besefa. But at the end of the Mishnah, shu poshet bigdei zahav. At the end of the Mishnah, it's talking about that he would, you know, from during the day, he would go from bigdei zahav to bigdei lavan, etc. So over there, he's taking off the bigdei zahav. V'yesh lo lelbosh begadim aharim. Right now, he's got to put on his bigdei lavan. Saka da dachamina, de lo avas sarich hekera, de vaday lo atil mitra'eh. Which means, what is he going to put on? He only has two garments. If he's taking off the bigdei zahav, what do you need a heker for? And still, when he took off his bigdei zahav, they still put a partition of boots to remind the Kohen that what you're putting on bigdei boots. So therefore, Rav Kahana felt he had to mention the chidush there, because there was more necessary than over here. The odd second of the kamina kevan the kevan persu pa machat sadin shel boots kedesh yakir sagi beachi. And I would have said also that maybe since you put the boots already once to remind them, one reminder is enough for the day. Therefore, Rav Kahana had to mention later on. No, during the course of the day, they also put a sadin shel boots to remind the Kohen that the avodah is bigdei lavan. That they needed two hekera, the first one and then the second one that he mentioned. That's the.
What do they put up on a regular day?
Maybe anything. Maybe they're not careful to put boots. Okay, comes the new Mishnah. Mishnah. Pashat. Okay, he takes off his garments, Yarad v'tabal, right? He goes down to the mikveh, Yarad v'tabal. Ala, he comes out, v'nistapag, and he dries himself. Hevi'u lo bigde zahav. Right, the first thing he wears is the bigde zahav. Velavash, he wears them. Vekidesh yadav veraglav. And right after he puts on the garments, he does kiddush yadayim veraglav. He goes to the kiyor, the special place, and he washes his hands and feet. Hevi'u lo et tamid. The first thing is they bring him the korban tamid. Kartsu, he slaughters it. Umirak acher shechita al yado. Another person finishes the shechita for him, either for him or after him. Because if you remember, we learned that the Kohen not only has to make the shechita, but he also has to make the Kabbalat Adam. Now, how could you make shechita and Kabbalat Adam? After you make the shechita, the blood is on the floor already. So therefore, the Mishnah says he would make shechita berov simanim, and another Kohen would come and take the place and finish the shechita, and then the Kohen himself would grab the keli in order to catch the blood. So let's read that in the Mishnah again. Kartsu, he would make the shechita, umirek acher shechita al yado, and another Kohen would finish the shechita for him. Kibel et adam, he would receive the blood, the same Kohen, the Kohen Gadol, vizarko. And then he would sprinkle it on the Mizbeach. Nichnas laktir ketoret shel shachar. He goes then to the Mizbeach apinimi, that's called Mizbeach Zahab, in order to bring the ketoret. We know every day the ketoret was one machasito baboker, machasito ba'erem. Uletiv et anero, then he goes and cleans out the menorah, the wick and the oil, etc. Ulakriv et arosh ve et ha'evarim. Then he goes, brings the korban tamid, the bones, the head, and all the bones. Ve'ahavitin. And then of course he brings the special minhat, Havitin of a Kohen Gadol that has to bring every day. Ve'et ha'yayin. Then of course he pours the wine on the Mizbeach. Now, ketoret shel shachar haita kereba ben dam de'evarim. Giving you the placing now of the ketoret. In the morning, the ketoret was between the sprinkling of the blood and the putting the korban tamid's bones on the mizbeach. Shel ben arba'ayim ben evarim le'nesakim. And the ketoret of the afternoon was between the bones on the mizbeach of the afternoon korban and the pouring of the wine. Imaya kohen gadol zakeno estenis. Now, if the kohen gadol was, let's say, an old person, or estenis was finicky or sensitive, mehamin lo hamin, they would heat up some water from before Yom Kippur, umatilin netoch asonen, and they would pour the hot water in the cold mikveh, kedesh shetafig sinatan, in order to take the chill out of the water. Which means they didn't have heated mikveh. So how did they do it? They would have hot water, and they would pour the hot water into the cold mikveh, and now the water would become lukewarm, in order that a Kohen Gadol that was old or weak would not have a problem. Let's read Rashi. Rashi on the Mishnah. V'nistapag, mit'atev be'aluntit shel beged, he would wrap himself with a towel, or a towel of garment, of cloth, lispog ma'im sha'al besaro, in order to absorb the residual water that's on his body, v'nistapag v'nitkaneya, right? And he dries himself. Now, there would be a reason why would he have to dry himself. Farshim explained one of two things. Either the water itself is a hatzitza between the garments that he's wearing and his flesh. He has to wear it on his flesh. That's why he has to dry himself. Or there might be dirt in the water, and the dirt will cause a hatzitza between the flesh and the garment. Therefore, he has to dry himself nicely. Comes the Rashi. Rashi. Kedesh yadav v'raglav min hakiyor. Good. So Rashi says he washes his hands and feet from the sink. כדי אליף לקמת שצריך לכל חליפות בגדי היום קידוש לפשיטה. What is that? בית וקידוש לבישה. We're going to learn that before, after taking off one garment, he needs a kiddush adam v'raglaim, and after putting on the next garment, he needs a kiddush adam v'raglaim. So for every peshita, taking off one garment and putting on the next garment, you have two kiddush adam v'raglaim. V'tivila rishona zu shefshita b'chol, he lo sech d'kesh ala peshita. Since the first taking off the garment is b'gdei chol, so he doesn't need a kiddush adam v'raglaim after the taking off of b'gdei chol. So he'd only make the kiddush adam v'raglaim after he puts on the first time the b'gdei zahav. Normally he would always do a tivila after he takes off the garments, and then after he puts on the garments. Here, after he took off his garments, it's the first garments he's taking off, it's b'gdei chol. You don't need a kiddush adayim v'raglayim after you're taking off b'gdei chol. So therefore, you only have one kiddush adayim v'raglayim in the first set after he puts on his begadim. Kartso, which means he slaughters the korban tamid. Mefaresh b'gimara, I'll explain what that word means. Umirek acher, v'gamar kohen acher shechita. Another kohen would finish the shechita. Lefi she'en kabbalat adam kishra ilu b'kohen gadol. Veslik lamelu kabel. He has to rush and catch the blood. Al yado. So the word al yado, that she gives two interpretations. Ila bishvilo, meaning he would do the shechita for him. Kemo kotzitz adam al yade atzmo. Ina me al yado. Al yado lashon acharav, meaning after him. So either al yado is for him or after him. After the kohen would start the shechita, another kohen would come al yado. Good. He quotes pesukim there. Ketoret shel shachari hayta kerebal. Gemara mefaresh mechamin lo chamin be'erev yom kippurim. They heat up water before Kippur umatilim biyom kippurim l'toch hakak binyan bet tevilato, into the hole over there where the bet tevilah was. Shetafig, shetafig is lehamir miyad sinato, to immediately dissipate the chill. Lafig would be like to weaken the coldness. Yeah, the hot water is to weaken the coldness. When Yaakov Avinu saw Yosef after 22 years, it says his heart became weakened. But Yafug libo. Mefigin ta'aman. Verecho lo namar, metergemina, verecho lo fag. Okay, comes the Gemara. Amarua Rabbanan kamed rapapa. So the rabbi said in front of the papa, ha dedo kerebi meir. Our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Meir. Di Rabbi Meir, because if you want to tell me it's Rabbi Meir, Kevan de Amar, Tre Kedushe, Alevisha Avid Lehu. Which is Rabbi Meir, originally we're holding like this. He holds that for every dressing, you need two Kedusha Adam Raglaims. One before you dress, and one after you dress. You don't need one at this point for the hafshata. You need it for the dressing. And therefore, in this Mishnah, it said you only do kiddush adayim v'raglayim once. However, hacha nami le'avi tre kiddushe alvisha. If the Mishnah was to be Meir, it would say you need two kiddush adayim v'raglayim. After you took off the big day hall, not for the big day hall, because you're about to wear the big day kodesh. So you need one before you wear the big day kodesh. And then one after you put on the big day kodesh. But from the fact that Amishtah did not say that, it's mashma. The mikveh is a different item. What do my kiddush adayim v'raglayim? So from the fact that Amishtah did not say that, it's mashma. Amishtah is not going like the Rabbi Meir. Amar deura papa ben rabbanan ben Rabbi Meir. You know, Amishtah is going according to both opinions. Had apeshita the big day kodesh vehad albisha. You made a mistake. You thought that Rabbi Meir holds both of them are for Levisha? No. One is for Hafshata, and one is for the Levisha. And since over here he didn't take off the Big De Kodesh, he's taking off Big De Hol on the first one, oh, wow. So even Rabbi Meir said, you only have to put one. Because if you're going to tell me that both of them are for the wearing, meaning you need one before the wearing and one after the wearing, you're right. The Mishnah cannot be going like Rabbi Meir. But that's not Rabbi Meir Shita. Rabbi Meir actually holds you need one for the taking off of Big De Kodesh and one for the wearing of Big De Kodesh. Therefore now Mishnah, you took off Big De Hol. And because it's the first. No, it's not. In this Mishnah, everybody will agree. This first one, there's no argument. Also, then you're asking it. Where's the machloket then? Where did the Bimir and Hakamim argue? So he says, "Ve'haka be'haka mepalge." So they argue on the following: Upashat ve'rachatz ve'lavash. The pasuk says. I quote you the full pasuk. The pasuk says. Upashat et bigdei habad asher lavash. He takes off the white clothes that he was wearing, the bigdei habad. Verachatz et besaro b'mayim. He goes to the mikveh b'makom kadosh ve'lavash et begadav. And then he goes on and puts on his other begadim. So the Gemara's learning over here, and she will tell us, it's a gezerah shema later on, that we're learning over these two kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Anytime it's when it says rachatz in this pasuk, they're learning that rachatz goes on the levisha and there's rachitza that goes on the hafshata. Even though the pasuk actually says v'rachatz once, but it says the word v'rachatz between the hafshata and the levisha, so the Gemara has learned you needed one lechitzat yadayim v'raglayim for the hafshata, taking off the garments, and you needed another lechitzat for the halbasha. So what's the machloket? Says Rabbi Meir savar makish peshita lelevisha. Rabbi Meir says we compare the taking off to the putting on, to the wearing. Ma levisha lovesh v'hakach mekadesh. Just like you wear the garments, then you do kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Af peshita poshet v'hakach mekadesh. So the Pishita is saying you take off the garments first and then you do the Kiddushah Daim V'Naglayim. So just like Halbasha is done after you Lovesh, so the Pishita is done after you are Poshet. However, they say the opposite. We make a catch between the taking off to the putting on. Just like the Levisha, when he's wearing the garments, he does the Kiddushah Daim V'Naglayim. So to the Peshita, he does the Kiddushah Daim V'Naglayim when they're still on, before he takes them off. So we have a fantastic malokan over here to be Mirin HaKavim when the Kiddush Adam and Aglaim were done. Everybody agrees one was for the Peshita, taking off, and one was for the Levisha. There's no argument on that. And the argument is, when did they do that? According to HaKamim, HaKamim say, well, the Peshita is done to the Levisha. Just like the Levisha is done when he's dressed, so the Peshita is done when he's dressed, before he takes off the garments. The Bimir is the opposite way. He says, no, I compare the Levisha. The Bimeir comes along and says the opposite way. He comes along and says, I compare the Peshita to the Levisha, that just like the Levisha is after he gets dressed, so too the Peshita is after he takes his garments off, after he undresses. And therefore, while they both hold you need for Peshita and Levisha, the question is, at which point? But in Al Mishnah, there's no argument. Because Al Mishnah, what is he taking off the first thing? Big Dehol. Everybody holds you don't need a Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim for taking off Big Dehol. So when is your first Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim going to come? After he puts on the Big Deh Kodesh, Big Deh Zahab, at the first time, you're going to need your first Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim. Comes the Gemara and says, Amru le Rabbanan Rapapa. So the rabbis tell the papa, Umi matzit amrit hache? Can you indeed say this? Meaning you want to say that our Mishnah is going according to the Bimeir, that you only need one Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim because it's Big Deh Hol. Is that so? That Tanya, we have a braita. Parsu sadin shelbut beno leben am. And we learned it. They put a linen partition between the Kohen and the people. Pashat viharad v'tabal. He goes to the mikveh, v'alav, v'estapag. He draws himself off. Heviyu lo begde zahav, v'lavash, v'kidesh yadav, v'naglav. Good. So far, so good. Rabbi Meir omer, Pashat, he takes off his bigdehol, kidesh yadav, v'naglav. He makes Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim, Yarad V'Tabal, Alav V'Nestapag, he dries off, Heviyu Lo Begdeza V'Lavat V'Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim. So you see, according to the Bimeir, even by Big Dechol, it's two times. Amar Dehu. So, he tells him back, which is, this is the question that they asked on Rapapa. Because Rapapa was trying to say what? Nah, the Mishnah is going like the Bimeir. What are you talking about? You have a Beferut Braita, not like that. So he says, Amarliu, Itanya, Tanya. He says, what can I tell you? If you have a Braita, you have a Braita. Means you got me. Jeez, I can't argue on the Braita. So I guess I was wrong. The Mishnah cannot be going like the Bimeir. In the you got a Braita. I didn't know this Braita. This Braita exists. It's clear that what? That it has to be to be not according to the Bimeir. Now let's just read the Rashis quickly over here. So the first Rashi is Rabbanan. Now again, the Gemara's Rashi was Amarua Rabbanan Kamed Rapapa. The rabbi said in front of Rapapa, Rabbanan Rashi says, Talmideh Rapapa Amruken Nefarav. The students of Rapapa said in front of him, Ha Matnitin, Al Mishnah, Delo Tenan Bashne Kedushin Betvila Rishona. They did not say you need two Kiddushah Adayim V'Naglayim is the first Tevila. The lo can be Meir. It's not like it can be Meir. The Palig B'Matnitim that argues in the Mishnah later on, B'Tevila Sheniyah Ad Rabbanan. They argue on the rabbis. Shayu Magdimim Kiddush Lefshita. The Chachamim, they say you need a Kiddush Adayim V'Naglayim before you take off the garments. V'u Egdim Peshita L'Kiddush. And he says no. You have to take off the garments first and then you make the Kiddush. So we're understanding at this point that if you have to take off the garments first and then do the Kiddush, that Kiddush is not for the taking off. The Kiddush is for the preparation of the next wearing. Ditnan Rabbi Meir Omer Pashat V'kedesh. V'shamayin al mineh. We learn from this. D'sfirelet d'shne kedushin shu'tzvaka katuv. That the two kedushin, the pasuk necessitates ben beged lebeged, between the garments. K'delif l'kaman tarvayu mishum levishat begadim ha'metchalefim ta'at rishonimu. Which means it's because of the wearing of the new garments in exchanging from the first ones. The kaman matnitin lav k'dekvateh. Tanan, how much that cannot be like him? The ira bimeir betvilari shonan amen nifayet rekedusha. He should need two kedusha daim like lives. Why? They have big day kodesh ubal el bosh. He's coming to where the big day zahav. So she need one before he puts it on and one after he puts it on. So the Gemara says, no. The inyan of the issue of Rabbi Meir is you need had a peshita. Rashi, vehilkach. Since over here in Amishnah, the Peshitah is actually on Big Dehol, Lobaya Kiddush. By the second Tevila, which means the second time when he takes off the Big Deh, Zahav, Shenechlak Rabbi Meir, Lagdim Peshitah Le Kiddush. In that case, Rabbi Meir says, you do the Peshitah first, then you do the Kiddush. La Mishum Nesvir Le Kiddush. Let's get the right Girsa. The Aleph, La Mishum Nesvir Ale Kiddush Rishon, Shelefneh Kol Tevila Mahmat Levishaba, Ela Bigzat Katupeligi. Meaning it's not becoming because of the Levisha, really it's coming because of the Peshita, Hafshata. Oh, so then why does one say you do it when you're still dressed, and one says you do it after you get undressed? It's about looking at the Pesukim. How to learn the Pesukim. Now the Rashi tells us what the Pesukim are. Pashat Verachatz. V'rachatz v'lavash. Now the pasuk doesn't say the word v'rachatz twice. It just says ufashat v'rachatz v'lavash. But from the fact that it says the word v'rachatz in between peshita and levisha, the Gemara is going to learn that the v'rachatz is going on both. You need v'rachatz for the levisha and you need v'rachatz for the avshata. So the Gemara says ufashat et bigde habad. That's the white clothes, right? The bigde lavan. Asher lavash usmichle. Then it says after he takes off the clothes v'rachatz et besaro b'mayim b'makom kadosh v'lavash. The Torah places the word rechitza, which would be understood to be kedusha daim v'raglayim, between the peshita and the levisha. Now the Gemara later on, the next daf is going to explain the word rachatz is not tevila. The rachatz is referring to kedusha daim v'raglayim. You're putting the word rachatz on the Upashat and on the Belavash, Ki'ilu Ketiv. It's as if it says Verahatz Lezim Neh. Meaning, the Upashat Verahatz, Verahatz Verahatz. Which means it's going on both the Chitza. The Bimir Sabar, the Bimir's logic is Makish, Kiddush, Peshita, the Kiddush Levisha. We compare the Kiddush of the undressing to the Kiddush of the dressing. Ma Levisha Lovesh, Vakach Mekadesh. Kiddush Hasheni, which means just like the Levisha, you get dressed first and then you do the Kiddush, the second Kiddush. Kedamin lekaman hakol modim b'Kiddush Sheni kishu lavush. Everybody agrees that the second Kiddush is done when he's dressed. Mekadesh v'yalif la'mikra'eh. We don't know that from Pesukim. Af Kiddush shel Peshita poshet. So do the same thing of the undressing. First you undress and then you do the kiddush. Just like you dress and do kiddush, you undress and do kiddush. So therefore he learns this after you get undressed. With a banan, savri, they say a different hekesh. Ma levisha ki hu lavush mekadesh, udadre hakol kiddush patra hal levisha, apeshita kishu lavush begadim, shuba levshot mekadesh v'akach boshet. The banan will say, just like the levisha, the kiddush is done after you got dressed. So, what means when you have your clothes on, right? When your clothes are on. So too the kiddush for the hafshata is done when your clothes are still on before you took them off. So therefore they're both making comparisons between the hafshata and the levisha. The question is, what's the comparison? So that's the machloket. So comes the Rashi and says, the next Rashi, umi matzit amrat. As the Gemara, can you say that Rabbi Meir is indeed the author of our Mishnah? Delo matzlich Rabbi Meir at Tevila Rishonat Rekedushe? Do you want to say that on the first Tevila, meaning when he takes off his big day hol, you want to tell me in that one Rabbi Meir is not going to say you need two kedushim? That Tanya, we learned in a Braita. Let's just get the that Tanya. Gabbe, supposed to say. Gabbe Tevila Rishonat Tanya. Now this Braita that she's going to prove to us must be referring to the first Tevila, which means the Tevila after he takes off his Big Dechol. How? From the fact that the rabbis of that bright, they said only have the one kiddush adayim v'raglayim. Now normally Rabbanan hold, if you're taking off Bigdeh Kodesh, you need one for the Hafshatah and one for the Levisha. But in this bright, the Rabbanan say you only need one. So we're forced to understand this must be talking about the first Tevilah that is done after correct. Taking off the Bigdeh Hol. Good. Once we establish we're talking about Bigdeh Hol, Ela ta'avad rebimir mishum nekasabar tarvayu mishum begadim shul noveshava. Clearly Rashi says that according to the Bimeir, that says in that Braita, you have to do two Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Ela, it must be what? Because the deen is you need two for the Levisha. It's not like we learned according to the Papa, one is for the Hafshatah and one is for the right. Levisha. No, one is for the Levi, two are for the Levisha. One before and one after. Therefore, I don't care if you take it off Bigdeh Hol. The point is you're putting on Bigdeh Zahav. And therefore, I need one before the Bigdeh Zahav, one after the Bigdeh Zahav. So therefore, the Gemara says, Amar Lihu, the Papa comes back and says, Itanya, if you have a Braita, Behedya, explicitly, the Matzrich Le Trek Dusheh, that says to me, it says you need Trek Dusheh. Tanya, finished. It's explicit. Umayi ikal mishma the ta'amad rebimir mishum tarvayu alevisha. And therefore, I can deduce clearly that rebimir holds it's both on the levisha that you need two kiddushin. Aval ilo ashkechitu matnitim behedya. If I didn't find this brighter, lo aval shemayin alem peduktah the tevilah sheniya to matnitin ikal lefirush rebimir lo. Which means, without this brighter, I could explain like the papa. I could have said that really everybody agrees once for the Hafshatah, once for the Levishah, and I could have said he agrees with our Mishnah. But once again, it's Beferus Braita, so therefore it's obvious that Rabbi Meir holds its Tarvayu Levishah. Rabbi continues, Bishlama le Rabbi Meir. It's good according to Rabbi Meir, Hainu de Mashkachatla Asara Kedushim. Which is, we know the Mishnah said that on Kippur there was 10 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. So according to the Bimeir, we understand how you get 10 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Because there's 5 Tevilot, but for every Tevilah there was 2 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, including the first Tevilah, which you made 2 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, one before the Levishah of the Big Dezab, and one after. So according to the Bimeir, it works out. Ela l'Rabbanan tish'ahavu. But according to the rabbis, you only have 9 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim, right. Because the first Tevilah you're only doing one Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. So where's the 10 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim according to Shittat Rabbanan? Amri le Rabbanan. So the rabbis will answer Kiddusha Batra, the last Kiddush, Kipashit Bigdeh Kodesh Velavish Bigdeh Hol Avid Lehatam, which means the last Hafshatah, which means when he's taking off his Bigdeh Kodesh to put on his Bigdeh Hol, before he takes it off, he does one more Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim and then takes it off and puts on his Bigdeh Kodesh. So therefore, that's the 10th Bigdeh Hol. That's the 10th according to Rabbanan. Look at Rashi. Asara Kiddushim Lechamesh Tevilot. According to the Bimeir, it's very good. You have 10 Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim for 5 Tevilot. However, according to Rabbanan, Tish'ahavu Lechasra Le Tevilah Rishona Had Kiddush. The first Tevilah is missing one Kiddush. Amri Lecha Rabbanan Kiddush Asiriyah Haser Kan, the 10th one that you're missing, Kiddusha Batra Keshegamar Avodat Kol Hayom Uposhet Bigdeh Kodesh Velobesh Bigdeh Hol Avid Lehatam Kesheba Lefshot Bigdeh Kodesh Dildidan Svidalan Kiddush Hada Peshita Vechada Levisha. Which is according to the Rabbanan, they hold one is for the Levisha and one is for the Peshita. So they would have that you're taking off the Bigdeh Kodesh, so you need one more for the Hafshatah. But according to Rabbi Meir, it's always for Levisha. So when you're taking off Bigdeh Kodesh, there's no reason you need another Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. The Maskanat the Milta, when Rabbi Meir holds the two Levish, the two Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim are for the Levisha. So therefore, now at the end of the day, he has his Bigdeh Kodesh on. Now, finish. I'm not wearing anything else. I'm wearing Bigdeh Hol. There's no reason for the Bimeir to put another, do another Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. I just take him off and finish. But according to the Banan, that they say you need one for the Peshita, and when you do that one for the Peshita, when you're still wearing, just like we learned by the Levisha, you're still wearing Sotobar Hafshatah. So before you take off the final, Big Day Kodesh, before you go to the Big Day Hall, Hakamim will say you need a 10th and final Kiddush Adayim V'Raglayim. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.